Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Well, hello there. Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday to you. Reaction Monday here on the show. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland with you on this Monday. We will be taking your commentary, your calls. You can call us at 869-1240. Max Powers got that for us back in the studio. You can also reach out to us, of course, on all our different video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X, all the places you can leave comments. If you're listening to us on the Odyssey app, you can leave us voice messages. We appreciate everybody tuning in to us as well on 12 News Connected. Lots of good stuff today, of course, as we put a Game 7 of the World Series in the books. We have a full day of NFL football in the books. We have a full day of college football in the books, and we're ready for all of it. TJ, good morning. How are you?
Let's not bury the lead here. I'm in my basement, and I'm staring at two Christmas trees that are put up. It is finally time. Max, I need you to bump out of these blocks with some Mariah Carey as we go.
No, okay, listen. I'm fine with Christmas trees, but Mariah Carey's most overrated Christmas song of all time. I'm not a fan of that.
I kind of agree with that, but it's the one everybody knows, so I went there. But it's Christmas time. We got ornaments on a tree. We're doing the rest of it tonight. We're all in. It's time.
It's Thanksgiving time. I brought that up to my wife after our conversation last week. I was like, you know, we could, kids are off school today. I was like, we could, and she was like, absolutely not. I was like, oh, really? She's like, I'd rather leave it up longer in January. She's a big Thanksgiving fan. So I don't think ours is going to go up super early this year. But it is. We're getting into the holiday season now. We're through Halloween. Hope everybody had a good, happy Halloween. The weather was good. Lots of candy. Lots of good stuff sitting around the house now. Parents get ready to eat candy for the next 6 weeks or, you know, take it and donate it. But that's a lot. It's a lot of candy. Appreciate everybody out there. Despite we're told the insanely high cost of candy that nobody would be able to afford it this year, we all got it done. We all hung in there and had some Halloween anyway.
Hopefully that the chicken wing prices are in control by the time they get to the Super Bowl.
If I have to do one more cost of holiday story on the air, they're my least favorite probably. The cost of Thanksgiving this year has gone up $4.13. Like sound the alarm bells. Like we're not going to have Thanksgiving.
It's the best man on the street interviews. It's like, I can't do this anymore. I can't.
I'm convinced. Look, I don't like the rising cost of anything either. I'm like the next guy, but I'm convinced that no person in the history of American society has like canceled a holiday because the cost is up a couple bucks. That's not the thing we should be focusing on. It's every time we'll cue the alarms. We'll have it today. You know, the cost of Thanksgiving is up on average per American, per family, $3.24. And then yes, we'll go through the whole thing. Why is that? Well, because cost of everything's up right now. It's a pain in the ass, quite frankly. But I think we're still going to have Thanksgiving, just like we still made it to Halloween. And we still had some pretty good candy in there. All right. I don't even know where to start today. Game 7 of the World Series in the books. The Dodgers take down the Blue Jays. I mean, I do know where to start, and it's where we'll probably spend a lot of time, and it's with the Chiefs yesterday losing to Buffalo. Josh Allen's dominance over Mahomes in the regular season continues. Now 5-1 through, you know, round 10 of the overall series, and probably if you're asking me, there's a real good chance they'll get round 11 in the playoffs. That's just the way things have gone, and I think it'll happen. So we'll have lots on that. Of course, if you were watching Sunday Night Football, Jaden Daniels going down in a nasty injury to his non-throwing arm. He'll be done for the year. That was something that's topical here this morning because they were getting their butts kicked, and he was still in the game, and now they've lost their quarterback for the rest of the year. So there's a lot to get to. The K-State Wildcats can't get it done against Tech. They hung in there for a while, and then Tech pulled away at the end. KU gets a win. They're closer to a bowl game. There's a lot to get to. Oh, and by the way, we start college basketball this week. Welcome to November, everybody. Mm-hmm. Welcome to
November. I think we need to start with Friday night as the Newman Jets cover the spread against K-State. There's a 9-point game at the half. They made 13 three-pointers in the first half. It was nuts. Now, we'll start with the Chiefs-Bills. As you said, it's obviously the biggest thing. And it's going to bring a lot of hypotheticals, as it always does whenever the Chiefs lose, and a lot of questions about what went wrong. And frankly, as we went through it last night on Sports Sunday, there's a lot of questions about what went wrong, and a lot of them just tie back to the fact of, man, what Buffalo does well, they do well.
Yeah, and that'll be where we go in the next segment, where our next full segment. But yeah, there's a lot to take away from it, and there are concerns. Look, I will downplay the loss to some degree, but there are a lot of concerns that come out of the game, and it's you can't ignore the fact that the Chiefs are 5-4 facing the schedule that they have to face this year. You know, if you can just guarantee me that they're in, then I'm not that worried about it. This was kind of the, if you want to host playoff games throughout, you have to have this one game. But we saw Indianapolis lose. Denver gets lucky again that CJ Stroud leaves that game, or they probably should have lost. But Buffalo now sits there, right? And so, okay, now you're for all intents and purposes, you're three games behind Buffalo now. You need to count on the Bills in that weak division losing three games the rest of the way. That's probably not going to happen. So that like of all the things that come out of that game, that's the one that sticks probably the most. The individual stuff in the game, there are a lot of concerns, but there are concerns right now that I think at least there's like an answer for the concerns that you can come up with. And we'll do that. We'll do that in the next segment. Did you catch Game 7 of the World Series, TJ?
So I had quite the experience of Game 7. I was in Manhattan for that K-State game and driving home. And so I fired up the YouTube TV app on my phone and just plugged it in and was listening to Joe Davis call it, basically, without watching. And was just kind of going on. And I was on the highway and I heard the Rojas home run. I was like, oh, this is crazy. And then I'm like nearly back to Wichita and I'm locked in. I'm like, Blue Jays are about to walk this game off. Like, this is insane. And I was like, it's Clements. He's going to do it. And I just hear a swing and a drive to left field. He runs him over. And I was like, what the hell is happening in this baseball game?
It didn't do it. It was a bummer. It was great. It was great. Intense.
The one thing that I told everybody is if I was like, if it was a Royals in the World Series and I was covering the game, and they lost that way, I don't know if I could have gotten on TV after that game. Like, I probably would have had to take the night off. Like, that sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's not – I don't know that it's game six of Texas Rangers bad as a fan, but it was tough. It wasn't tougher – I don't know that it was much tougher than game seven in 2014 that the Royals lost. I was a reporter covering that game. That was hard.
That was tough.
But that one was different because you just felt like they weren't going to be able to do anything against Madison Bumgarner. This one, the Blue Jays, I mean, they had it.
The Blue Jays were literally an inch away from winning four different times.
And they had it set up the way they wanted it to be set up. But you get this unbelievable story from Yamamoto coming back into that game the day after he pitches. I love that the Dodgers just do whatever the hell they want. Like, they throw all that stuff. Shohei on short rest? Sure, we'll start him. Yamamoto pitched last night. Man, our bullpen's been terrible. It's game seven of the World Series. What do we do? How about go back to one of your best pitchers? Like, at some point, you have conversations with these guys. I'm bummed that the Blue Jays didn't win that. But kudos to the Dodgers for putting it out all on the table, letting it all hang out. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk Chiefs. What do you think, Chiefs fans? Let us know. Video comments, your calls, welcome. We'll be right back.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it.
Are you playing me off?
That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you. We've got all kinds of football talk coming for you, getting you ready for the weekend. We've got World Series reaction. Josh Briscoe will join us in a little bit as well. It's all brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, featuring a hot link sandwich, split seared, served in a split top bun with chips and a drink for only $9. Perfect for lunch. Hot link sandwich now available at Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. Our thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up this morning. With the time change, maybe don't need the coffee quite as much. Everybody reacting a little bit. Sun's out this morning. It took me a minute to remember that we changed the clocks over the weekend. All right, TJ, Chiefs, Bills. Chiefs fall 28-21. Patrick Mahomes was under siege all afternoon long. Buffalo, it was well documented in the broadcast, made a concerted effort in the offseason to beat the Chiefs. And they knew they, in order to do that, we've seen it through the history of recent football, the way to slow down great quarterbacks is the pass rush. It's the reason the Chiefs lost a Super Bowl last year. And the Bills pass rush won the day yesterday. And that is the concern. Like, the Chiefs can still win a Super Bowl even if they don't have home field. I'm not, they're healthier. All of those things for the Chiefs are still fine and true. Oh, and by the way, they lose all of these regular season games against the Buffalo Bills, and it doesn't ever seem to matter. But the one thing that you carry over is the offensive line looked pretty bad yesterday. Like, they did not have a good game at all.
The thing for me is that, I watched it. I watched the first half. I had to, pick and choose some of the second half to watch and everything like that. And, I was like, the offensive line's not good today. And I was like, well, chalk it up to, no Josh Simmons and no Trey Smith. And I was like, wait, Trey Smith played. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit more cause for concern, I feel like. That's something that we've had the conversation the past couple of weeks about what it looks like without Trey Smith. And then when you get him back and it's the worst that they've looked, that's something.
I don't know how much of that had to do with Trey Smith, but you know that he's at least nicked up, right? Yeah. And he could miss time at any point. Jawan Taylor has to leave the game. We still don't know when Josh Simmons will be back. What was the strength of the team 2-3 weeks ago is not, at the moment, the strength of the team. Now, they'll have to overcome that, I would guess, probably for a little while longer until they can get everybody back healthy. The goal has to be now just get to the postseason with those guys healthy, but they don't have a lot of schedule relief, and the Bills, that is the ticket for the Chiefs. It's not like the Bills made some revelatory thing happen in this game. Oh my God, if you want to beat the Chiefs, you got to get to Mahomes. Like that was the Chiefs' number one problem a year ago. And it's why they lost a Super Bowl. It's why they've lost both Super Bowls that Mahomes has been to, is because he's been under siege like that. And even despite all of that, they still, at the end of the game, were throwing Hail Marys to try and tie that thing up.
Yeah, the thing is it's just the inverse of everything that we've said that the Chiefs do well. Like, when they've got all these guys out there, Mahomes is really good when he has time to sit in a pocket for 6 seconds and float around, and then the play goes out the window and they improvise. You can't do that. I mean, Joey Bosa looked really good yesterday getting to Mahomes, around the left tackle.
Yeah, they had a lot of line injuries, too. Like, it wasn't like their regular unit either. Ed Oliver's out, is one of the best players in the league. Like, they're down some guys too. So it wasn't just like, it was really bad on the offensive line.
It's something to not brush over. You know, that might be a thing. You know, I think that we were at the promised land of offensive line's good again. And there's not much, like, I don't think that Josh Simmons is going to help Mahomes from getting hit 15 times, you know? Like, I don't know. I think the Bills might have just played really well yesterday. Like,
They did, and they do that, and they're the Bills. And they're already one of the best teams. Like, the margin between the Bills and Chiefs in this dynasty is razor thin. Like, the playoff games that they've played are razor thin. It's not like in any other, you know, the Bills would have Super Bowls if it weren't for the Chiefs. And they know that. And so, of course, they're going to get motivated for that game. But, like, just in the short term, like, the panic level for the Chiefs, it's not because they lost to the Bills. And it doesn't even need to be a panic level. It's just, where is this offensive line going to go from here? When is Simmons coming back? It's no longer cute to get, you know, frustrated with reporters asking about when is Simmons going to be back? Gets a rookie left tackle first round who's been really good, who has been gone for a while. So, hate to tell you, Chiefs, you're going to get the question until he's back, because
they're going to get quite a few this week.
Is not good.
Yeah. They're gonna get a lot of those questions this week, I fear. That's going to be a big story after the loss that we saw.
It is what it is. Where is he? When's he coming back? How do you not know when he's coming back? Or if you don't know when he's coming back, that's a story. Like, why? Okay, you don't know when he's coming back. That's a problem. Because now, if you're down Taylor, your depth is gone. You know, they got dominated on the line yesterday. Mahomes was... I mean, he did not have any time to do anything in that game. Nope. And not being able to run the ball hurts, right? Like, that injury hurts, and it amplified. When is the trade deadline? Tomorrow?
Tuesday. Tomorrow at 3.
So that amplifies that a little bit. Like, what's Pacheco's status here? Because you can find a running back. Sorry, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not going to be the answer. You can go get aggressive if you need to get aggressive. You're not going to find an offensive lineman, but you might be able to find, you know, you might be able to find a running back to add a little juice there, because if the line's not very good, remember, that was the Band-Aid a year ago. The Band-Aid a year ago was to run the ball more than they normally run the ball with that line. And that's how they figured out a way to win games. Now, that ultimately I don't think is going to be good enough, but, you know, when they are depleted on the line, you have to be able to do something else. And with Pacheco out, that's it. Rick says, his mom, he's talking about Simmons, his mom was almost dead. I don't know that that's true or not, but teams knew about this before the draft. The Chiefs care about him as a person. Of course they care about it. Nobody's saying they don't care about him for a person. Nobody's casting any blame on Josh Simmons whatsoever for being gone, but he's gone and they have to know when he might come back. It's not that he's gone. That's the problem. The problem has been that they don't seem to have any idea of, because they've got a trade deadline coming up. Like, they have to at least know, like, when might he return to the team so that they can make their plans? Because right now, the thing that he does for them is one of the most important things that is done on that team. It cost them a Super Bowl last year. So you just have to have a plan for his absence. And yesterday, the plan for his absence didn't work. So now what's the plan? Because when you get to the postseason, all the teams are going to be really good, and they're going to do everything they can to put pressure on Mahomes. So what is the plan to solve that thing? That's the only everything else from the game I don't really care about. I don't really care that they lost. It doesn't mean anything to them. Their chances to host throughout were pretty thin anyway. Now they're probably not going to happen. So what? Okay, now what? Now just be the best version of themselves. And I think that version is still plenty good to win a Super Bowl. So the outcome of the game doesn't really mean anything to me. It's just what happened in the loss. There is carryover stuff there that could be the thing that keeps them from a Super Bowl.
Yeah. The biggest thing to me, if you want to take anything away from the outcome, and I agree with all the Simmons stuff, by the way, obviously we're not trashing somebody for taking care of an emergency, and we've said that on the show and everything like that. So, but I agree. You need to figure out if you need to make a roster move, if there's something that you need to do about it. But taking away from the outcome, I think the biggest thing, I agree. I think that you lost this game, you're not going to get home field advantage. You're going to find a spot in the playoffs and you're going to be happy with it. The thing is the AFC West race, because the Broncos win again, the Chiefs lose again, and that makes the next game on the schedule that much bigger, is that if you lose to the Broncos, you're not going to win the division.
Correct. Probably not. Probably not. The Broncos have been lucky a couple of times this year, last week included. At Denver, after the bye, Andy, week after the bye, I don't know what the look-ahead line on that game is, but I'm taking the Chiefs. I'll tell you that right now. Colts, I think that's more, honestly, I'll give the Steelers more credit. And I've been a little skeptical of the Colts, but I'm going to give the Steelers more credit on the Colts losing to Pittsburgh yesterday pretty gloriously. At the Cowboys is not going to be easy, but it's a good matchup. Houston is probably not going to be easy, but they probably, CJ Stroud should be back by, we hope, goodness gracious. And then you get the Chargers again, at the Titans, Broncos, at the Raiders. So they should be fine. Yeah, they need to beat Denver both times if they want to pass them. Especially Denver without Sertan, they're not going to win 14 games. Like, they're going to lose some games. They should have lost yesterday, but they keep snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. I mean, victory from the jaws of defeat for sure.
Yeah, it's more so the fact of the bed that they've made, honestly. Like, the Chiefs are, a couple, three games below them, is that what we said? And I think that the way that the Chiefs' schedule sits out the rest of the way, like you said, there's not any that you can say they're going to win that game, and you'd have to hope
Titans and the Raiders, they'll win those games.
But I mean, two of the remaining 10, whatever, how many weeks we have left.
And they already have four losses.
I know, you're asking Denver to lose a few of these if you want to win the AFC West, which at the end of the day, if you don't win it, the streak's over and whatever. If you get in the playoffs, that's the end goal. But, you want to win it.
We're looking at 5-4 for the Chiefs. Like, what is the worst case scenario they'll be allowed?
To get in the playoffs?
7-3?
Oh, Denver?
No, Kansas City. How many games do they have left?
Oh, the rest of the way.
Eight games, so they will have... So I say 7-3. They'll have to go 5-3 to make sure they're in. And even 5-3 at 7 losses, 10-7, that's not a guarantee anymore to get into the postseason. I mean, it probably is fine. Probably. But it's not a guarantee.
Where are they right
now? 5-3?
They're the 8 seed right now. So they're... Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know. It depends on what the Ravens do below them. It depends on what the Bengals do below them.
The Ravens are probably going to win their division. We'll see what Pittsburgh can do. That was impressive yesterday by Pittsburgh. But those two will. I don't know what happens. Yeah. The challenge will be, is if the Steelers are good, now the Ravens are another wild card team.
Exactly.
And so it's like, okay, there's them.
There's just not much chance on the, like, they're not going to play the Jaguars.
Found
again.
A way to win one, even though, and they get that just excruciating tiebreaker over you now. Like,
and you don't get to play them again. That's the other part of that. Like, you don't get to play them again. You play the Chargers once and you hope that that's good enough to do, but you're not going to play the Steelers. So
it'll be, it's not panic time. 5-3 is fine.
I got a little bit of panic. I got 1 ounce of panic.
I don't have any on that part of it. That part of it doesn't worry me yet. They lost to the Bills. I would say that the only inexcusable loss that they've had all year is the Jaguars. That's it. That's the only one where you're like, that is ridiculous that they lost that game. I don't feel that way about the Bills. I don't feel that way about the Chargers or Eagles when they were facing all the injuries they face. And other than that, they've not only handled business, they've pretty spectacularly handled business. So that part doesn't worry me. They get a bye week now. That hopefully gives them time to figure out what's going on the line. The part that bothers me is that flaw that cost them a Super Bowl last year was on full display yesterday. And the reason they've looked so good at times is because they seem to have solved that thing. The Bills just exposed you. And yeah, you're exposed because Trey Smith has a bad back and Juwan Taylor went down in the game and Josh Simmons hasn't been with the team. And that's the reason you're exposed. But until we have answers for any of those, that's the part that's going to concern me. Because when they get to the playoffs, if their offensive line plays the way it did yesterday, I don't think they're going to be able to get it done this year.
No. Yeah, I mean, that's basically, you know, the cliff notes that I wrote down of why they lost this football game is the offensive line. You know, they don't get to do the time that they've been able to – they don't get the time in the pocket to do what they do so well. And then on defense, defense didn't play bad. But if you want to beat the Bills, you got to keep them off the field. Like, it's the same way you beat the Chiefs.
The Bills did what the Bills do, and that's run the ball like crazy.
And the Chiefs just, like – you just can't stop it, basically. Like, you can, they're just going to slowly drain you down and just keep picking up 5-6 yard gains with James Cook and Josh Allen, basically. And you just can't get them off the field. And like, that's how they lost those two games. They turned it over 5 times in their 2 losses, and they didn't turn it over once yesterday. And that's just what happens.
The Chiefs haven't been that bad against the run in forever, like in years. So again, like, do we look at the entire body of work and say the Bills just executed a game plan really well and ran the ball and controlled the clock and did all these things? Or is this a flaw for the Chiefs defense, which I thought it would be at the beginning of the year? You know, I was worried that they wouldn't be able to do some of those things that we've counted on the last 2 years, one of which is they don't let anybody run on them. I'm not ready to be just because we've seen how many games have we seen this year and that hasn't been a problem. So the fact that the Bills, who are great at what they do, got it done in one game. Okay. Tight ends have always been a little bit of a problem for the Chiefs. They just, it wasn't the best day at the office yesterday. It's fine for the most part. But there are things to now become concerned with in the big picture, because when it's the Chiefs, you're thinking about Super Bowls. Yeah. And there are things that happened yesterday that can't in the playoffs.
Yeah, the biggest thing for me is I'm not going to put much stock into what happened on the field against the Bills, because, as you said, the Bills may have just game planned really well. The biggest thing for me that I'm taking away from this is the fact that the margin for error has gotten pretty small for the Chiefs. I think that's the biggest story going forward.
It's small if the offensive line is not intact.
It's small regardless. If you're at 5 losses,
I thought you meant within a game. I thought you meant, yes, the margin for error in the standing. Absolutely. Yeah, it is small. It is small. For sure. I mean, they don't play a soft schedule. Like, depending on what you think of Dallas, they're only going to have 2 games against bad teams. And while I don't think Dallas is great, they're not bad. They're especially not bad when they play at home. So, like, it's that part is a little bit true. I'll give you that one for sure. But the home field, like, we can stop thinking about that. That's gone. The good news is they still play the Broncos twice, and they play the Chargers again. So that's your good news if you're a Chiefs fan. But before all of that, you better figure out the offensive line. If you don't figure out the offensive line, they're not going to be good enough this year, especially now with the margin of error, like you talked about. Like, that is the thing that will kill them. Mahomes is not 23 years old anymore. Kelce is on his last legs. Like, they just can't mask that anymore. They have to be better on the line, or all of these receivers we've been so happy to get back aren't going to have a chance to do their thing either. Mm-hmm. It limits their offense. It suppresses their offense. None of those deep balls looked very good yesterday. Like, they didn't really have a chance. It was just Mahomes heaving it on a prayer. It wasn't like designed deep balls, other than the big fourth down conversion. So we'll see. I think there'll be a lot to get to. We'll have Joshua Briscoe in next hour from the Chiefs Radio Network. We'll see what his takeaways are and how much he worries about a lot of this stuff. But we have lots of time to do it today. Plenty of time for your calls and comments. 869-1240 is the number that you can call. We've got a Monday Night Football game, TJ. I was wrong last night on Sunday Night Football with my first touchdown. I went Barner. And the hedge was Jaden Daniels. Barner was in position for it. They went somewhere else. It was going to be close. Tonight, I think we're going. I think we're going to go Jake Ferguson. The two tight ends are the ones that scream at you here: Trey McBride and Jake Ferguson. But I think I'm going to go Ferguson and sleep like a baby. Here we go. There's your first touchdown pick of the night for me. Those have been fruitful. I hope everybody made some money this weekend. I actually had a good betting weekend, other than the, you know, the regular thing that's been good. It's just like in just some regular bets this weekend. So that was nice. College football, TJ. Texas Tech, K-State. Now you were on one, whatever. What was that, Saturday night? You know, the conspiracy theories and all the things at K-State as they lose a game and go into a bye week this week. It was a bummer. Look, I thought the game was okay. The final score was not okay, but K-State hung for most of that game, and then it kind of got away from them at the end.
It's true.
I know that's never going to be good enough for K-State, and it shouldn't be, but Texas Tech's really good when Morton plays. To me, it's not all that surprising, but they're 4-5. They're 4-5. And that's tough. I get it. That's not up to the standard for sure. In a season where, I mean, like, Avery Johnson hasn't missed games, right? They haven't had Dylan Edwards. But we shouldn't sit here and say, like, there's not really an excuse. How about that for them being 4-5?
Yeah, it's true. They just started off terrible, and they figured it out, and they looked pretty good all the way up until, you know, this week. And they still didn't look that bad. I think that there was, like you said, Texas Tech inflicted errors, that Texas Tech is so good at making teams make errors in. So I don't really know what to take out of it. It was a little bit of both. You know, I think if there was some things that were cleaned up on K-State's side, they could have had a better chance at it. But again, I also was not aware. I understand that Texas Tech forced turnovers, but holy cow, they forced turnovers.
Is Jacob Rodriguez not your favorite defensive player in college football
it's
now?
It's nuts. It is insane how good he is at doing that.
He's wild. I think the thing to do going into a bye week, because we're a sports talk radio show and it's what we do, is talk about the future of K-State. They better do some things this year. When you look at what they've done, and I think Chris Klieman has done a good job before this year, they have won 8, 10, 9, and 9 games. Okay. I think you've got to start there. That is good for K-State. They had a first place finish in that stretch. But if you do go wider, it's hard because their finishes in the Big 12, TJ, they've had a first. His first year, they had a third. Other than that, they've had a seventh, a fifth, a fourth, an eighth, and whatever else this ends up with this year. I have a hard time with the, like, what should the standard be? Like, what should good enough be, especially in the Big 12, because there's not any teams, right, that are probably ever going to dominate this league like Oklahoma did for a long time. And Texas did a lifetime before that, back in the Mac Brown days. So I don't know, but I get the sense from you, who pays far more attention to chatter of all of this stuff than I do, that there is some unease right now. And what I don't know is, and we'll just call it like we see it, is that because Colin Klein's going to get hired somewhere at some Texas A&M is really good, or is it because people aren't satisfied with the product on the field?
I think,
you know, not this year, obviously, notwithstanding, but in general terms.
I think the main reason that everybody's got the chatter going is because they know that Colin Klein is about to get hired somewhere, and that he's out there and he's ready to be a head coach. And I think that that's what arises the blaze, and that's what arose all the conspiracy that I was texting you about and all that stuff. But I don't know. I think there's people that, I think the K-State fans don't understand, you know, what is a realistic expectation for Kansas State. And they should win Big 12 titles, like, and they should.
Yeah,
and they
absolutely
did.
They should.
Should they win them every single year? That's a tough ask, you
no,
know?
It's not. Well, it's this not going to happen.
This year is a letdown, and it's okay to have a letdown, but we had the conversation last week that college coach expectations are out the wazoo, and if you fire Chris Klieman, if you don't get Colin Klein, the chances that you get somebody as good as Chris Klieman are slim.
there's so many things that go into that. A, we don't know that Colin Klein would even take that job.
That's
B,
true.
We don't even know that Colin Klein wants to be a head coach in college. C, what are you going to, yeah, like if it's only him and you knew it was going to be him, that would be one thing, but that is a massive, massive, massive risk. I think that you have to take a step back. Kleiman's just 58 years old. Like, he's nowhere near the end. And I think when you're a program who has literally had one head coach in ever that's been good, when you have one that's good, you have to be very careful what you wish for.
I agree. That's what
9-9 and 10 wins the last three seasons is good enough.
Yes.
Sorry, fans. Like, that's good enough.
And that is a couple bounces away from being in Arlington and all of those as well.
Like, correct.
You're right there. That's where you're supposed to be. This year sucks. And I 100% agree. And you can whine and moan about this year because you can't. They aren't good as they should be. And that sucks. But you can't fire a coach over it. Like, that's just not going to help. Like, it doesn't help. Like, I'll put that on the record. If they fired Chris Kleiman, the next year they would be worse than what they were this year. And I would put money on that. It's not going to happen. It's not going to matter. But that it's an insane line of thinking.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't think it's going to happen either. I think it'd be silly. And I just don't know how much fans really are like that, or if you're just capturing the absurdity of like social media.
I don't know.
The other thing that you have to consider in all of this, when you talk about the Kleiman era so far, is they have had bigger recruiting wins than they've ever had before.
Yeah.
Whether you think that's Avery Johnson, whether you think that is the original Dylan Edwards, right? Which they lost. I get it. They just signed Lincoln Cure. That was the best recruit that school has ever had. And his brother plays at KU. So that wasn't just some, you know, hand me. That wasn't Dean Wade at K-State basketball because, you know, his family has such a legacy there. No, Lincoln Cure's brother plays at the other school. So, like, they are doing all of these things. Like, their facilities are top-notch. Their NIL, by all accounts, is in great shape. All of these things that it takes to be successful in college football are in great shape there. So, You just can't, like, you cannot take that for granted. Ask KU. Look right down the road. We're not, K-State is not the SEC or the Big Ten in a lot of those spots. You sell out every game. You have some great recruiting wins, and you have a coach that has taken you to 28 wins the last 3 years going into this year. And this year has 100% been a disappointment. There is no doubt that you cannot hang this all on Dylan Edwards not playing. Like, that's not going to be a good enough excuse.
Yeah. Like, let's be clear here, if there's anybody out there that thinks that we're not doing this. We aren't being complacent with saying, oh, well, you know, this is going to happen sometimes. It sucks. This is not supposed to happen. Yeah, and there's probably going to be a lot of changes.
There's going to be this year.
There's going to be internal changes. Like, I don't know what that's going to mean for, you know, there might be coordinator things. There might be player development things. There may be something that's going to go on behind closed doors inside the program. But, like, it sucks. But you can't just do what LSU does and just fire a coach like that. Like, you can't. It's not going to happen.
It doesn't make any sense for it to happen. It's nonsensical to do things like that. There's buyouts, there's, you know, what the grass is almost never greener on the other side. Like, it's silly, but it's a conversation people are having. And there are some things that, if no matter what happens down the stretch, Avery Johnson's future, Dylan Edwards' future, yeah, those are going to be the regular college football uncomfortable. And I get it. I need K-State to make sure whoever is running the offense next year is put in place solely to put Avery Johnson in the NFL. Like, that should be the sole, because that's going to make their team better. And Avery Johnson is playing better.
He played good on Saturday.
He had a couple picks. But it was good to see the athlete Avery Johnson come back because they had to have him. I mean, the running game was him. And we knew that. We knew that they weren't going to be able to just line up and run the ball with Jackson the way that they'd been able to do on some teams because nobody does that to Tech. Tech's got a top 10 defense. Like, that was never going to happen. And they have some of the best linebackers that you'll find in college football. Like, you're not just going to line up with Joe Jackson and have a great day on the ground. And so Avery Johnson stepped up, and that's what that what's what had to happen. Just, you know, it wasn't enough, and that's fine.
Yep.
But they're 4-5 now. They've got to get there where they're trying to get, which is a bowl game at this point. They go to the bye week this week, and then they get
Oklahoma State at Utah and Colorado. So you should, in theory, beat Oklahoma State and Colorado. Should. It should be fine. Should that be may be enough. You might be playing in the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl, but you'll be in it.
Who cares? Doesn't matter at this point. Just got to get there. Utah on the road. I mean, that's a good game to get up for, right? Yeah. That's a good game to, you know, to want to go win because it's fun and wacky. But I just like flashes of last year's trip to the state of Utah kind of come into my head a little bit. You know, the Oklahoma State game's on the road. They clearly are playing a little better. You know, they did a pretty good job against Kansas. But let's not overreact here. This has been a bad year for K-State. It's the first bad year in a long time. Mm-hmm. And just like everybody chill a little bit and let's see what happens here. Let's see what happens down the stretch. Let's you know, watch a recruiting class. Let's do all those things because on paper, as long as they're not poached away, the things that got us really excited about this year are back next year.
That's the biggest. That's the biggest healthy thing. If you want to talk about the future, you probably start thinking now about who's coming this offseason and how do you keep them away from, you know, number 2 and number 3 and number 0 and keep them.
NIL is how. NIL is how, and confidence in the coaching staff. And obviously, they have confidence in Chris Klieman. They went to play for him in the first place. But you got to make sure, I think, those coordinators are receiving that same amount of confidence. All right, we'll come back more on the Chiefs in the next hour. We'll look around the other things we saw in the NFL as well. A lot to get to today. We start college basketball this week. Talk about the ground. All right, welcome back in, everybody, for another hour of Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you and glad to be getting ready for a really nice week here. After the week of no sun last week, it's good to be back. It's good to have everything back. We've got Joshua Briscoe coming in to talk Chiefs later in this hour. We will get you a look at the rest of the NFL. And college basketball starts right away. Sports brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, where it's patio season this week for sure. Smash a Yumpkin pumpkin on Delano's rooftop deck. Enjoy happy hour at WBC East newly remodeled patio. Grab a pizza outside, shielded from the setting sun at Wichita Brewing Company West. When you think patio, think Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. Yumpkin pumpkin may be expiring, but still patio season out there at Wichita Brewing Company. We come back in. DJ, the rest of the NFL yesterday, pretty entertaining. We mentioned Sunday Night Football. What do you make of the Daniels injury in the sense of everybody, of course, in the aftermath is going to be upset that they were getting beat bad and Dan Quinn had him in the game. And, like, football
doesn't matter.
Football. Like, I hate that stuff. It drives me
crazy. I hate it, too. It drives me nuts because the same injury could have happened when it was 0-0. Like, it's not like he was out there playing with the backup offensive lineman or something like that,
right,
and they were just asking for him to get hurt. It's football. He happened to land on a hand weird, and it happened. Like, that could have happened in practice. Like, that does not matter. It's a vacuum whenever that happens. It does not – the game doesn't make a difference towards that injury.
And and for all intents and purposes, the time on the clock, I don't remember what it was, but they were down 3 scores. You know, it's just – and you're a team that is about to go 3-6 and you're trying to like figure some things out. Like you kind of need the live bullets to be able to know, okay, instead of working on this in practice over this last 5 or 6 minutes, let's go to this and see if we can find any success with it. And then we'll come back to practice this week and we'll build.
I mean, there was like 9 minutes left in the game. You want to put Mariota in and take a knee with 9 minutes left? Like,
that's what I'm saying. You're down 3 scores. That's enough time to, what the would Broncos, be upset if Andy Reid,
yeah,
Mahomes Like when the Chiefs were down two scores and didn't have the ball with, what, 7 minutes to go?
Exactly. The Broncos scored 33 points in a quarter just like three weeks ago.
Like that's so dumb. Like it drives me crazy, those conversations. Like that still means something. They're still – can we not turn into the NBA here? Like I'm trying to – you've got me in a fantasy basketball league where you have to set it every day, and I just look, and there's like nine guys out every day. And I'm like, what is – like this is so silly. Like, can we not do that with the NFL, please? When the games are being played, let's have our players play in them. Let's do that. It was a freak injury, a bad landing. It's a bummer. It sucks. We all hate it. There ain't anybody that doesn't love to see Jaden Daniels play the position, and he's going to be out now, and he'll be okay. You know, it's his non-throwing arm, so they'll have to get it all corrected, and he'll be all right next year, and they're going to have to mail it in a little bit. Marcus Mariota's been okay for them, but it's not just him. Like, they were already old. They were already a pretty slow roster. Like, they didn't do a good job this offseason. They just didn't. Debo was a nice addition, but it's an older guy. Like, Washington, they did not have a good offseason. And I was surprised to see it brought up, but it was brought up last night by almost a full year, 9/10 of a year. They're the oldest roster in football. That's a big margin for a team that's quarterback is in his second year and he looks like the sky is the limit. How do you let that happen? You can't. Yep. And so they're going to have to do a retooling next year.
I would agree with that. It's interesting. That roster that we saw in Monday Night Football, again, no Jaden Daniels in that game, but, I mean, they didn't look good. And, you know, heading into last night, I think it was a three-point spread, and I think that we both said on the show, it's like, I don't know why this is a three-point spread, you know?
Yeah, when Jaden Daniels comes back, well, it's because Seattle's really good.
Yeah.
And Seattle's really good on the road, and Sam Darnold looks like Sam Darnold did last year before the very end of the season. They have everything you kind of want to see. They have a great defense. They've got a playmaker on offense that's as good as any in football right now in Jackson Smith and Jigba. They have an effective run game. If Franklin's going to be as good as he was last night, they've got things that they are working with. No, it is Franklin for the Broncos. Sorry, I get them mixed up all the time, and I don't know why. But they've got a lot of weapons. They've got a couple of good tight ends. If they really are that good defensively, they're going to be a hard team to beat. And if you look at the landscape of the NFC yesterday, as we see the Packers lose to Carolina, nonetheless, as we see the Lions lose at home to J.J. McCarthy, which was really interesting, the Bears got it done, but I don't think they're striking a lot of confidence in anybody. Is there anybody right now that you with conviction can say is better than the Seahawks? I think the Rams are really good. I think the Eagles are good. But are you going to say like definitively that they're better than the Seahawks?
Are you talking NFC only?
Anymore.
NFC?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, not the AFC. In the AFC, I'd still take the Chiefs, the Bills.
Probably not. I mean, nobody's really shown it. I think that the Rams have shown flashes. I think and the Lions have shown flashes, but I agree. Seahawks are really good. Like we talked about earlier in the season. Yeah, that nobody knew what it was going to look like on paper or on the field. We knew it was going to look on paper.
That's not fair for us either. And I get it because I was one of those people. You lose Geno Smith, who'd found success there. You lose DK Metcalf. That was an interesting trade. You're like, okay, well, are they going to be able to pull a rabbit out of their hat, which it seemed like they'd done with Geno late in the career? They have. Sam Darnold looks better than even Geno did, and he looks like the player that we saw in Minnesota last year. Now, thankfully for the Vikings, that J.J. McCarthy actually looked pretty good. J.J. McCarthy looked closer to what we, I think, kind of expect. Now, he didn't light the world on fire, but he went into Detroit and beat the Lions. So say what you will about J.J. McCarthy. That was a good game. He did have a pick, but he ran a little bit. He ran the ball 9 times. And I don't think – and I know his yardage was suppressed, I think, because of, like, some sack stuff. But I think most of those, I think, were designed runs. I wasn't watching that game by itself. It was kind of on with the others. But there, if nothing else, it shows you there is a running component to his game. And he looked pretty good throwing the ball. And probably with those receivers, he only has to look pretty good throwing the ball because they have a lot of guys that he can throw it to that can go make plays for him. So that was an interesting development. I don't, I'm very stunned that the Lions let that happen. That is a very un-Lions thing to do.
I agree. Here, let me turn you to the AFC because I want to talk about this before segment two. What do you think of the Bengals after they did what they did yesterday and ended up losing that game? Where are they?
What do I think about the Bengals? I think take their overs as an auto bet every week.
It's true. Is their season over?
Yeah. I think so.
The last two have just been heartbreakers.
If 10-7 is the benchmark to reach the postseason, and I think that it is, and that's still sometimes stretching it, that team is not going 7-1 down the stretch.
It's so crazy because like you watch them play on offense, and it's like holy cow! Like you guys make Joe Flacco look elite, and then the defense is so bad.
The problem for them is, yes, the defense is so bad. The offensive line is also bad. So I don't know what they attack in the offseason more aggressively. Because if you're asking me, I would say the offensive line, because you can't keep getting Joe Burrow hurt.
Yeah.
So like all the resources that you have this offseason must go to the line, which doesn't leave a lot to help solve a defense that's this bad.
The defense is bad. I just looked at the totals because you just said bet the over every time. This is unbelievable. They've had like over 65 points total in every single game.
And the NFL's going to put them that high. What are we looking at next week with them? Are they playing next week?
They're on a bye next week.
Okay. And we don't have, I don't think we're going to have week. Oh, no, we do have week 11 lines, by the way. Yeah. Oh, come on. At the Steelers, only 46.5. Can I bet that right now?
Way over.
Can I bet that now?
That game happened 3 weeks ago, and there was 64 points in it.
I got to bet that right away. Chiefs, Broncos, by the way, the Chiefs are 1.5 on the road. 1.5 favorite on the road. Can I bet both of those games right now? I bet I can if I try. Yeah, I bet if I go look that up, I'm going to go take that parlay immediately. The Chiefs laying the points and the Bengals Steelers getting over 46.5. What are we doing here? Like, I'll bet you by the time they play that game, that number is,
you might hit that at halftime,
54.
Yeah, I'd agree. Probably going to jump a touchdown.
I really am during the break going to go look and see if I can put both of those down. The Chiefs coming off of a bye and that, come on. Denver's going to be an interesting matchup. I can't wait for that. We got a long time to think about this Bills game. We'll have Joshua Briscoe in just a few minutes. He jokes with us on X and says, maybe we skip this week. Josh wears that passion on his sleeve. So this will be a fun conversation with the reaction to the Bills game. We'll see if he maybe he thinks it's a bigger deal than we do. Because I just am not. Again, like I was seeing that come through, like the Chiefs got their butts kicked yesterday and they were throwing Hail Marys to tie the game. Like I think everything's going to be okay. They're just not going to, you know, they're just not going to have full field. We'll talk to Joshua next. Chiefs fans, hop in. You can ask questions. You can chime in on our video streams, Facebook, YouTube X. We're coming right back on Sports Daily.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And we are glad to have in Joshua Briscoe, our Chiefs Insider, Chiefs Radio Network pre- and post-game coverage. You can follow Josh on X at JB Briscoe. You can find him on the KC Sports Network, a couple of podcasts there that you'll find. Let's be stereotypical morning show, lower third graphic, panic meter 1 to 10 for Joshua Briscoe is what after the Bills loss on Sunday?
Fire everybody, me included. That's my panic meter. Here's the thing I'm struggling with. I would feel like an utter fool to come in here and be like, well, guys, the Chiefs lost to the Bills in the regular season, and now the season's over. Like, because we've seen this a number of times. This is simply how it goes. But I do think we saw some real problems there yesterday that we've seen hints of, that we've talked about here on this show a number of times over the last several weeks. So I'm probably at like a 7, I guess. I really have almost no doubt that this is a playoff team. I have real doubt that they might, God, I don't, at some point I'm going to get in trouble for my real feelings about the Denver Broncos. I've watched so much Broncos football in the last 6 weeks, and I haven't changed my opinion about them once. But right now, they are in the driver's seat, and not just like, well, they're up by a game. They are utterly in the driver's seat. If the Broncos beat the Chiefs in 2 weeks, this thing might be wrapped. Certainly, if they sweep the Chiefs, it's over. The Chiefs need both of those games and a lot more. So, I think they're still a playoff team. I think losing to the Bills in the regular season is certainly not a year ender. But the AFC West streak is in the AFC West streak in particular is a 9 out of 10 in my book. I mean, it is endangered right now. They're gonna make the playoffs, and then I think if they do, I would love to pick the Chiefs to beat the Broncos in Denver by 30 points. But that's a lot of games away, and there was a good answer. I think it was from Nick Bolton that we played on the postgame show last night, talking to Josh Klingler. And I think Kling asked, as we've asked a lot of these guys, like, are you prepared to see them again later this season? And Bolton said, like, yeah, you know, we see them a lot, but right now we can't be counting on seeing anybody in the postseason. Like, our side of that deal isn't being upheld right now. And I thought that was a really good answer. I hope I'm crediting the right guy. I think it was Bolton there. I think that's a really interesting little detail to add in. They have a ton of work to do. I think they'll be able to do most of it, but there is a lot to be done.
Yeah, you're in the same boat that we are. I think that, you know, that there's little to take away from what we saw on the field and a lot to take away from what this means for the rest of the season. But we'll talk about what we saw on the field. I think if you polled 100 Chiefs fans, at least 90 of them would say that the offensive line kind of looked like 2024 a little bit. What was going on?
I mean, by the end of the game, you had one healthy starter. That's the easiest answer, right? Like, I think Jalen Moore, we saw him struggle a little bit in the first half against Washington, then play a lot better. He had some rough moments. Juwan Taylor, I think, probably had his worst game in a month, maybe more. He had a really, really good stretch. And the one illegal formation penalty that didn't even get called, that's not what threw him off. He just, the protection wasn't there for Mahomes. I do think that, and this is, to your point, TJ, this is looking back to last year. I think it compounds when you have the offensive line starting to show some holes. Mahomes gets a little bit antsier, and I think there were a couple of times where he was trying to escape pressure that wasn't actually play-ending pressure, and it just kind of snowballs that way. But so that's one of the things in this game that is very clearly a problem, and that I feel okay about long term. Josh Simmons, your guess is as good as mine, but if he is back at some point, it seemed like after the bye was an optimistic take at one point. If Josh Simmons comes back, well, now Jalen Moore's the guy that's coming in instead of Wanye Morris coming in for Juwan Taylor, and Mike Caliendo comes in for a beat for Kingsley Suamataia while Trey Smith's battling his back injury all day. So again, Creed in the middle was the only healthy starter on that offensive line by the end of the game. That I think is probably the easiest explanation to that. But this is also a Bills D line without Ed Oliver, a Bills defensive line that did not have the kind of juice that you expected to derail your O-line like that. So I think that one's a relatively simple answer with some pretty complicated implications.
Well, I think it's the biggest concern coming out of the game. I'm just, like, I refuse to overreact to something that we've seen happen 5 out of 6 times it's been possible, which is Josh Allen beating the Chiefs in the regular season. He's 5-1 against him in the regular season. Most of the time, that's irrelevant. I think it's the things we saw on the offensive line that should cause us the most alarm, because it's the thing that has haunted them. It's the reason they've lost 2 Super Bowls.
Yep.
And if they can't run the ball now with a Pacheco injury, the next couple of days get pretty interesting. I don't think there's a lineman to go trade for or anything else, but they do probably need to self-evaluate a little bit. Because if they're going to have to deal with line injuries, the way they did it last year was by, like, overrunning the football. They can't do that right now with just Kareem Hunt. He doesn't have that kind of juice anymore.
And they chose not to do it yesterday. I want to pull up later today. I'm going to have to go through kind of some of the advanced analytic box scores. I think are just an interesting way of adding in another little layer of information. But on the most basic, stats you can keep for running the football, the Chiefs and Bills both averaged 4 yards a carry. Kareem Hunt averaged 4.5 yards a carry. James Cook averaged 4.2. Like, I'm with you, by the way. I'm like, I don't want Kareem Hunt to get 25 carries. But when you are in this spot that you were in the game last night, where Patrick Mahomes is completing less than half of his passes, where the offensive line speeds everything up, and Kareem Hunt's moving the ball 4 or 5 yards at a time. And that's obviously, that's not skewed by some 60-yarder that we all fell asleep and forgot about. Like, his longest run was 13 yards. And that's fine for Kareem Hunt at this stage in his career. I would have liked to have seen them try that a little bit more. But then also, back to your point about the offensive line, I think you're hoping for Josh Simmons. You're no one ever had a bad back, as you know the thing people say. And I think about like Mitchell Schwartz talking about that sometimes. But Trey Smith isn't in like back surgery territory, as far as we know. God, knock on wood on that one. But if he's got back tightness, I hope nothing is better for that than a full week off and a ramp up back into Denver. I think if the health comes back around, Kingsley's been good this year. Like, he has really taken some steps. And then, obviously, it's late in the game that he gets hurt. I thought he had missed more than one snap. The snap counts today had Caliendo only in there for the one. So I didn't even realize that Kingsley had come back and gutted that out as much as he did. I remain optimistic about the offensive line, because the version of that we saw against the Detroit Lions, well, actually, the Detroit Lions game was the first one for Jalen Moore. So even then, but the version of this O-line that has, let's say, two of their three starting tackles, including all three of those guys in the mix, I feel relatively good about. Disappointing to see Trey Smith have such a tough game out there yesterday when you know that that's ailed by his back. I don't think that Mike Caliendo is probably a better option at that point, but you just have all these little nagging injuries coming around at a really, really poor time.
I think the thing that we're wrestling with of how we should feel on this Monday morning, and I feel like a lot of people are probably wrestling with as well, did the Bills game plan well, or did the Chiefs not execute? Like, what side of the spectrum did this fall on? Is this a Bills win or a Chiefs loss?
I know that this is really bad for sports radio, but I do think it's a bit of both. I do think that you can look at that game reasonably and go, oh, okay, well, I mean, the Bills had a better game plan than the Chiefs did on both sides of the ball. I don't know how you could take anything other than that. Steve Spagnuolo was unbelievable, and also Josh Allen has played well against him over the years. This isn't one of those things, the reputation that Lamar Jackson has taken at this point. Josh Allen hasn't gotten to the playoffs and wilted against Steve Spagnuolo. We all know this. We've seen incredible, incredible football games with those two sides going back and forth. It's not a good game from the Chiefs defense, but I'm less frustrated by what the Chiefs defense did, because I do respect Josh Allen that way, and I do respect the Bills offense that way. James Cook had a good day. He didn't single-handedly beat you. Josh Allen had a good day. He didn't kill you with his legs. The tight ends obviously did. That's the thing that you really have to just stare at until you come up with some other better idea. But Drew Tranquil one time loses his footing, the other time gets picked up on a pick. And he's their best coverage linebacker, and by a not small margin. That's not Nick Bolton or Leo Chanel's bag. So I do think there's a real concern there, especially if you do end up going up against the Bills again. And you go, okay, well, we've got the book out right now. I don't know if Jaden Hicks, who barely played in this game, I don't know if he's the answer for some tight end man coverage down the stretch. Maybe you could have Shamari Connor do a little bit more of that. He's going to be on the field all the time anyway. But I think the tight end thing defensively is that's the wound that the Bills just showed to the rest of the NFL. Offensively, I haven't gone back through and watched the all 22 yet. I'm going to do that after we're done here today. Maybe I should have just set my alarm 2 hours earlier today and gotten that done ahead of time, because I would love, I don't know that I'm going to find the final answer, but I am really, really baffled by what happens in a game where Patrick Mahomes throws the ball 34 times. He completes less than half of those passes, and he finds Rashee Rice 4 times, that Travis Kelce doesn't get involved until the end of the half, and then after that, still barely. Just so many things offensively felt out of sync. I do think the offensive line's day was probably the biggest issue. Here's a stat that I don't know if you guys have mentioned today, but Next Gen Stats had this out last night. The Bills pressured Patrick Mahomes on 52.6% of his dropbacks. That's 14.3% higher than their pressure rate in any of their other 9 matchups against the Chiefs since 2020. So Mahomes was being pressured all day. He completed 3 of the 16 passes when under pressure, 3 for 16, 61 yards, and that pick. So I think we know what happened there. I'm really, really surprised the Chiefs didn't have better answers.
I don't think they were game planned. Joshua Briscoe joining us here, Chiefs Radio Network, our Chiefs insider. I don't think they were game planned for the line to play that poorly. And so I think it caught them off guard. Yep. And the plays that they had drawn up, just like if Mahomes had, it felt like he had his back to the receivers. He just never had a chance to get comfortable. They can probably game plan around that if they know the line's going to be in shambles and do a little more quick stuff, but they weren't ready for it in this game. But it is like, we just saw this a year ago. It is the reason they've lost the two Super Bowls that they've lost, is because the line hasn't given Mahomes the time. Tom Brady, the GOAT, lost big games because the other team was able to get pressure with their front four.
Yep.
So it's a thing now. It's the thing to take out of the game. I think, like, if they don't fix that, they're not going to be able to achieve their goal. It's the thing. And look, they had it. They were Hail Marying to tie the game. They were still right there. I think that more than anything, Chiefs fans, like, they'll be fine. Like, they're going to be fine. And I'm with you. I think they're going to beat the brakes off the Broncos. But this thing is a problem when they get to the big games.
And just, I don't know if I have anything else to add on that. I'm with you on it. I'm going to flip it and tell you, that's the thing for any great quarterback, and right. It's also the thing the Chiefs defense can't do right now, which is another concern all of its own. That, how many times did Josh Allen get pressured with four last night? I don't have the number. I'm guessing it's a very small one. I'm guessing it's single digits, and that digit might be zero. It's probably not. But, I mean, you had a couple of hustle sacks and some nice plays here. Oh, Chris Jones makes the impact, and I think Leo cleaned that one up, and George Karloftis makes a pressure, and Ashton Gelati cleans it up. That's great. But when Josh Allen has time to sit and survey, would any quarterback, I watched Sam Darnold last night just dicing that Washington defense, and obviously the Chiefs beat them, but you're talking about beating the brakes off of somebody. The Seahawks were doing it with Jaden Daniels out there for most of the day. That injury was horrible also, but I digress. Neither here nor here. When you look at what the Chiefs defense fails to do in terms of just send Chris Jones, George Karloftis, another defensive end, and another defensive tackle, whoever's in your rotation, can those four guys ever really disrupt the play before the quarterback has a chance to go through his reads, or at least enough of his progression to find an answer? The times that Josh Allen ended up holding the ball last night, and again, he was holding the ball, was because I think he's looking, and seeing good sticky coverage from the Chiefs secondary. Again, other than the tight end position, which is a huge other than that, I think that the secondary did a pretty good job for the most part with a lot of those wide receivers, even with Khalil Shakir. So I am just left so frustrated there, where obviously, like, Felix and Udike Uzama wasn't working out, but he's on IR, and Omar Norman Lott was not off to a hot start, and he's on IR. I don't know if we're gonna hear some news in the next 24 hours or 36 hours or so, whatever it's going to be up until the trade deadline. I have to think they're calling around, but just as much as, I guess, Jacob, I have a little bit of hope, a little bit of optimism that the offensive line is going to improve as it gets healthier. There is no reinforcement on the Chiefs' defensive line, and so that's the thing that I'm kind of sweating about for the long term.
Josh, you were kind of on the same page whenever we started here about, you, as Jacob was saying, you don't take anything away from this game and say, oh, God, like, the Chiefs aren't going to be able, they're not going to be able to do it. Like, the Chiefs played well, and the Bills just may have played better. The biggest thing that I think that's making us, you know, clinch everything together here is the fact that they're 5-4 now, you know.
Yeah.
10-7 was the benchmark for the playoffs last year. I think they'll get in the playoffs, but as you said, you know, it's an endangered time to try to get that streak keeping going in the AFC West. Where do they go from here? Like, what do they have to do to keep the goals in front of them?
I guess you could have told me before this three-game stretch of Bills, Broncos, Colts, like, hey, you can lose either the Bills or Colts game. You can't lose to the Broncos at this point. Right. You just can't, not realistically. You can't plan on beating them on Christmas and say, okay, well, then we'll just be tied up then, and we'll figure it out in Week 18. That's not going to be an option. So I think the most important game on this three-game stretch is still that Broncos game. Now, here's the hilarious thing, guys. Here's the stupid, wonderful thing about the NFL. The Chiefs are two games behind the Denver Broncos right now. It feels like a mile. And if they beat the Broncos twice, they will be tied up in the standings and have the tiebreaker. Now, you've got to win all the rest of these games, but you've got to beat a Colts team that just finally really stumbled yesterday. The Cowboys on Thanksgiving have a really good offense and no defense. The Texans almost beat the bleeping Broncos.
Should've.
With Davis Mills. Oh! So CJ Stroud will be back for that game, and they'll beat the Chiefs by 10 or whatever, and that'll be the thing that ends the AFC West. I hope that's not true. I don't actually think that that's true. The good news is that the NFL is absolutely packed with flawed football teams. But the more philosophical answer to your question is that I think the Chiefs have to prove they're bigger than their flaws the rest of the way, and they have to play not perfect football, but they need to play the best football they've played in quite a while if they want to win this AFC West. And again, right now, I don't even mind if in the locker room they're talking about the fact that they're on the wrong side of the outside looking in playoff graphics right now, because that is the amount of ground they really have to cover. The good news for fans of this team is that two wins over the Broncos and a relatively normal back half of the season, and they would be right back in it. It just might come down to that game on Christmas, and who doesn't love a little bit of extra Chief stress on their Christmas, huh?
They need their rookie left tackle back. They need him badly. We'll see what Andy Reid has to say about that today. Josh, you follow Josh on X at JB Briscoe. You can hear him on the Chiefs radio network right here with us and the Odyssey family. Everything else and only weird games on the KC Sports Network. We appreciate it. We got a long time to think about this loss.
We do.
Which always sucks even harder.
Hey, next time we're talking to Josh, we're going to talk about Chiefs running back Breece Hall on the show.
Oh, you're still thinking that. I don't know.
We got like 24 hours.
Let me know if you want me to do any self-scouting during the bye. Anything you guys want to tweak schematically for the rest of the season, this is the time to do it. So I'm good with feedback.
Yeah, quick pass game. Quick strike pass game. It's going to be necessary for a couple of weeks.
I think you're right.
Run that up the pole.
I'll see what I can do.
See what we think about
Oops,
that.
I just found out I can't do anything about that. Sorry, guys. Ah! I tried.
We'll try. We have Monday Night Football coming up tonight. Cowboys and Cardinals should be good. You also have the Chiefs Kingdom show. So you get the Chiefs Kingdom show at 6, followed by Monday Night Football, Cowboys, Cardinals. Jake Ferguson is the first touchdown score bet of the evening for me. All right, TJ, you said that Russini's reporting Breece Hall would take a third. Is that right?
Basically, I think that's rumored, I guess, but she says that she's got sources within the Jets organization saying it would take something lofty like a third-round pick for them to want to move him.
Third-round pick Breece Hall's got this year and next under control.
Does he? I think it's just this year.
No, I think he's got next year. I think I checked this last week. Checking. But Breece Hall is obviously tied to Wichita. We all love Breece Hall. He's very, very talented. He's an unrestricted free agent after this year. God, that's too much.
That needs to be something to where you're calling Breece's agent and getting permission to do that and saying, can we get him?
It would be a sign and trade. And that happens all the time in the NFL. That happens all the time. What is the contract though?
I know. I mean, if you get Breece Hall, you can't pay Trent McDuffie, basically. Is that might be what it comes down to.
Probably not. But the Chiefs have proven us wrong over that over the years. The average per year, Saquon just signed one, got it done. He's making 20 a year. McCaffrey, 19. Henry, 15. Jonathan Taylor, 14. Kamara, Josh Jacobs are at 12. James Cook just got one done for 12. So let's say it's 12.
Yeah.
Let's say it's 12 million a year. That's a pretty big number for the Chiefs, who haven't paid a running back in a very long time. Okay. So that's one factor, is that you've got to do a contract. You're not making that trade for just this year for a third.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then let's go back and look, and I've got this pulled up. Here are some names that the Chiefs have taken over the years in the last, let's call it, in the last generation. And these weren't all Brett Veach picks, but just you'll see why we're taking this back just a little bit further. Noel Williams, who's been impactful for them, Wanye Morris, Leo Chenal, Lucas Niang, Derek Nnadi, Kareem Hunt, oddly enough, Travis Kelce. A third is a lot. A third is a lot. And that's a part of the draft that the Chiefs historically have done really well in. Those are the rounds where they've built this franchise. It hasn't always been first round picks. It's been a lot of guys in this sort of range. So, what, you know, if you were to do a draft, would you take Breece Hall in the third round? Of course you would. Of course you would. But at $12 million.
Yeah.
And the alternative, I would say the chances are very low. I would say they're better that a team like Houston, makes that trade. That would make sense a little bit more to me. But now they, you know, they lost that game yesterday. Had they won that game yesterday, like, that's where I think you go to it. Because if you're making that kind of move and that kind of a commitment to a player like Breece Hall, you're committing to running the ball. I don't know that the Chiefs are going to commit to running the ball. I think they need to, but you look at the teams that have those types of players: Barkley, McCaffrey, Henry, Taylor, Josh Jacobs, James Cook. Those are teams that by design want to run the ball a lot. And I don't think the Chiefs, and this isn't a fault to the Chiefs, I don't think they should either. They have built everything for this pass game, right? They have invested all this money and energy into left tackle and wide receivers. And it doesn't make a lot of sense to me to abandon that and then all of a sudden try, because you can't commit that kind of draft pick and that kind of money to a running back who's going to run the ball 10 times a game or 12 times a game. It just doesn't work. And can Breece Hall by himself do more than a combination of Pacheco, Hunt, and Breshad Smith? It's probably closer than we want to think because we love Breece Hall so much. So for the Chiefs, I just don't think it makes sense. I think the price tag is too high.
Okay, next on the list, Nico Dowdle.
Nah. How hurt is Isaiah Pacheco?
I mean, it's week to week, which in the NFL, that might mean like 4 or 5. And it's an MCL.
I'll say no. Green Mountain was average 4 yards carry yesterday.
I mean, I just don't buy it. Who's after him?
What do you think is going to happen if they trade for a running back? All of a sudden, they're going to start running the ball a ton?
No, but they they don't have anybody else besides Kareem Hunt. Like, unless Breshad Smith is going to have a game that he hasn't had yet, but like, he's not that kind of running back.
I mean, if you're telling me you get Dowdle for a 6th round pick, then sure. Yeah.
What would you trade it for? Would you trade a 4th for Dowdle?
No, absolutely not.
What's the line here? Tony Pollard's on this list. What about Tony Pollard?
No.
Jerome Ford.
For a 4th?
We'll say 4th, yeah. Would you trade a 4th for a running back?
No, I wouldn't. Josh Williams was a 4th round pick. Legarius Sneed was a 4th round pick. Like, no, I wouldn't, because I don't think the Chiefs are going to utilize that player to justify. It's got to be like 6th or 7th. It's got to be like last, like very end of the draft, because it's just not that if something happened and Hunt got hurt, they just showed you they can go sign Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Oh,
they're not
whoopee.
I know whoopee, but they're not going to run it enough to make it a thing. Kareem Hunt carried the ball 11 times in that game. Should have been more. Yes, I'll agree. But the running backs collectively carried it 15 times, 16 times. Like, they haven't designed their offense to do that. Now, before this year, like, they have invested so much at tackle, money, draft picks, all of it. Like, they have built this whole thing to get these receivers back and throw the ball a ton. That's what they've designed everything on. And it's why they've looked really good this year, yesterday notwithstanding, because the offensive line looked really bad. But if the Chiefs are going to do what they're going to do, it's going to be because they do that. They're not all of a sudden in week 9 or week 10 going to come out and be the Buffalo Bills offense, which is the only offense, by the way, in football that runs the ball at that level. And so if you're not going to do that, then you can't take resources, money, draft picks, or whatever that you're going to need to sustain. At some point in the next 3 or 4 years, you're not going to have Travis Kelce or Chris Jones anymore. Like, they have to be able to rebuild and retool this roster, and losing draft picks, especially in the middle of the draft where they have thrived, is a huge ask for a running back that if you waited, you could get in free agency for nothing.
Okay, hypothetical time. What if Isaiah Pacheco's injury is worse and he's out for the rest of the year?
That's a different scenario, but he's not.
But it's week to week. Like, that, it's not day to day. It's week to week.
An MCL sprain, even then, like, I would imagine that there will be guys that get cut. There will be guys on the street, and there will be guys that they can get for a 6th or 7th round pick. There absolutely would be. It might be somebody's backup right now.
I guess the biggest question is, are you comfortable in a hypothetical situation here, in a playoff game, you're on the road at Buffalo and Kareem Hunt is your bell cow?
Yes.
I'm fine with that?
I'm far more concerned with what's happening on the offensive and defensive lines than I am. I mean, the Eagles just went and traded for Jalen Phillips. Like, that's, if I'm going to spend a mid-round pick and I'm the Chiefs, it'll be for a defensive lineman, A. The concerns about what they're doing on the lines so far outweighs whichever player they have in the backfield. The short yardage thing is becoming less effective, I think, anyway. I'm not sure that's sustainable. But this team this year will win a Super Bowl if they protect Mahomes and let him carve defenses up. And if they can, in the playoffs, create the kind of pressure and disruption that they have over the years, which they haven't been doing thus far, but they need to be able to pressure the quarterback. Those things are so much farther up the list of priorities when we're talking about potentially trading draft capital than the running back. I'd love for him to trade for Breece Hall because it'd be fun. Like, it would be awesome. It'd be a fun fit and all these things, but I don't think it will alter and change up the offense and what it is. Breece Hall is interesting because he can help you so much as a receiver too.
That's the thing. They haven't had a running back that can catch passes like that since Jerick McKinnon, and that was at a limited capacity.
But that's
like
why they drafted Breshad Smith, and he's shown us this year he can do it. So
as like when
he didn't do it yesterday. He didn't do it yesterday, but he's done it. You know,
I mean, is that what the plan is though? Like, that's what you have to ask. Like, it's the replacement question. Like, if Kareem Hunt's the lead back, like, he's been good. Like, I'll give him that. It's the fact of what is the plan at the second running back, because Kareem Hunt can't take 20 handoffs, like you said.
He can't, but they're not going to give any running back 20 handoffs. Can he handle 10 to 15? Yeah, he can, and that's what they're going to ask him to do. Breshad Smith, by the way, before the Washington game, and I don't know what's happened the last 2 weeks, and it's something that I think they need to look in the mirror and ask themselves about, but he was on a stretch there. He caught 3, 3, 3, and 5 balls, and then he hasn't caught any the last 2 weeks. That's interesting because it is something, and it's probably just a cause of, you know, Rice is back and they have all these weapons. But I do think, I think they're very comfortable with him playing that role. I don't think they're going to give anybody more than 15 carries a game. So Kareem Hunt right now taking 9 or 10 is fine. He's good in short yardage. He's a good pass blocker, which they need right now while the offensive line is there. And if he can fall forward for 3 or 4 yards a carry, that's what the offense is designed to do this year. It's not the same as last year. If you asked me the same question last year, I would have said, hell yeah, go make a trade for a running back. Because last year they transformed into an offense that needed to run the ball 25 times a game.
Yeah, it's true.
That is not what they're going to do this year. You can't have Rice and Worthy and Kelsey and Hollywood and a line that you've invested all this money in. You can't do that and then turn around and not throw the ball a ton. So they just, like, they put too much into this pass game to try and on a dime make a switch because Buffalo played a good game defensively.
I agree. I mean, I'm with you. We talked about this a month ago, and I was with you that, like, Breece Hall would be cool, but they don't need him. Like, he's not going to do more than what Pacheco's doing for you right now. But the fact of the matter is now is that there's no Pacheco. Like, he's out for a month.
Right. A month. He's a better player. He's a better player, and he's awesome. I just don't know that that's what they're designed to do. Like, Breece Hall's a superstar. If they want to make the trade because he's available and they have designs on making him a big part of the offense after this year, then that's a totally different conversation, right? Because at some point, Rice is going to have to get paid. At some point, you're not going to have Kelsey. At some point, you know, the line has to make some changes. Like, that's a totally different conversation. But if it's for this year, you're making that trade. Like, I just cannot see a world where Andy Reid says, okay, let's go get Breece Hall and let's start running it 20 times a game to our back.
I agree. I'm with you on that.
So to me, the price tag is too high. Just go get Breece Hall in the offseason. Offer him a contract and don't trade your third round pick if that's what you want to do.
That because solves I don't the think, money part of it.
Well, no, but it solves the giving up a third round pick part of it.
True.
They're not trading a third round pick for him. That'd be nuts. It just doesn't make any sense. All right, that does it for Sports Daily here on a Monday. Cowboys Cardinals tonight should be pretty entertaining. We'll see. Maybe a scout on the Chiefs a few weeks down the road. Get a look at the Cowboys at home. That offense is healthy now for Dallas and should be able to score some points. Their defense is awful. The first touchdown bet, TJ, going tight ends here. Jake Ferguson, I'll probably hedge with McBride, but the Ferguson is the call. Ferguson first touchdown is the call tonight.
I will be watching. I'll be ready to text you. If I can watch it, I don't know if I can.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Maybe
go to the sports bar.
Eat some chicken
Wichita
wings
Brewing Company.
Yeah, eat some chicken wings and have a beer. Kind of a night. Maybe doing that. Are you working TV today?
Nope, I'm off.
I'll send you the deets. All right, that's it. We'll be back tomorrow. We've got Wyatt Thompson. We'll ask him some of this stuff we were talking about today with K-State on just how uneasy fans might be or should be. But we'll get into all of it on a Tuesday. For Max, for TJ, thanks to Josh Briscoe. Go back and listen on the Odyssey app. I'm Jacob. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.